So I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke, and we're in chapter 19. It's found on page 1632 if you want to follow along with the Bibles that are provided for you, or your phone, your iPad, whatever you bring in here, you can just pull it up, and it's a great way to follow along as well. Some of us just prefer to listen. So I would invite you to do that as well, that we would hear from God. And this story is an incredible story about a man in relationship with Jesus. And he didn't know Jesus prior to this moment, but Jesus knew of him and he knew of Jesus. And in the moment encounter, this guy's life was beginning to tip. It's the same way for anybody that truly meets Jesus. To meet him is to have your life altered forever. To truly come into his presence is forever to be known and to be loved in a way that transforms your life. And we're about to read one such story. So chapter 19 of the Gospel of Luke, it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So this morning I was going to start right now with this incredible joke that I heard this past week, and I actually, as I heard it, I laughed so hard. I'm like, man, I'm just going to start it. It'll have nothing to do with the sermon, but it was so funny. I was going to start with a joke, but I forgot it. Totally forgot it. I was like, I can't remember it. We were going to have this moment right now, we would all be having a riot right now, laughing super hard. So I just want you to know what was supposed to happen that isn't going to happen, but great joke. If I remember it, I'll tell you next week, all right? So this message series that we've been in, it's been around the topic of really this, what God wants for you. That God actually has some wants for you. He has some wants for me. There are some things that he's so good and so loving and so amazing that he has some things he just longs to get to us. Like a good parent or a good friend would want good things for their friends, for their children. So too, God longs for some things for us. And we just tackled a handful of them, that God wants us whole. And we tackled the one that God wants us close, or at least to recognize how close he actually is to us. That God wants us real. That God wants us in community, because there's something powerful about belonging to a community. That God wants us, last week we were talking about useful, because it's a huge gift of his, that he invites us to join him in blessing this world and blessing people in this world, and how our faith and our faithfulness, there's like this marriage of them that makes a massive difference in this world. And this morning, the topic, if you read it in the bulletin, the topic is that God wants us weird. And I'm not going to preach that, not because I don't think it would be an amazing sermon, because the notes that were around it with all the other pastors that were leaning in on it, It really would be an amazing sermon. And the other campuses, I believe all of them, minus Walker Harbor, I believe they're going to be teaching on that. The reason I'm not going to is because of this. It's because a week ago Friday, I was beginning to think about this message as well, the one for this Sunday. And I had this burden on my heart for something else. And so throughout the next several days, I was working both sermons in my mind and thinking through both of them. And by Wednesday of this week, I went, I can't. Even though it might be a great topic and it might be pretty amazing to preach about us just being different in this world, there's one thing in this sermon series that I was just thinking God really wants to speak to us this morning. And it's why I even began by praying, going, I wish that I had the ability right now that you and I could have this intimate conversation, every one of us in this room. I just can't. We're not wired up that way to be able to do it, but God is so good. He's such an amazing communicator. He can speak to every one of you and use some of my words or use some other stuff to begin to speak a message into your heart. And I was carrying a burden for several days, and finally I went, I'm just going to follow this burden. I'm going to chase it because I think it's from God. And I don't pretend to know the thoughts of every one of us in this room. I don't pretend to know what's on your mind or what you're going through. I don't pretend to know where you're at, whether you've been in church for 50 years or 20 years, or this is your very first time. Whether you've had what Jeremy spoke about, where he said there was this moment where it might be described that there was a move of me knowing about Jesus in my head, a transfer of this thing in my heart, where he stepped in and said, it's time for me to get baptized. I'm making a public profession of my faith in Jesus because he has captured my heart. I don't know where you're at, but God does. God does. And I believe this morning that he wants to speak something to us, and so I'm chasing that burden here this morning. Because when I think about before this world even existed, the thought in God's mind about us was this, that he wanted to capture us and make us his own. And we read the scriptures from the beginning of the Bible, 66 books from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and we can make a pretty good argument here that the major message of the entire Bible is that God continues, has been, and always will, to the very close of this world itself. He will be in the business, if you will, of making a pitch for our hearts. God wants you whole. God wants you close to understand his closeness. God wants you real. We preach these. God wants you in community. Preach that. We've talked about God wants you useful. You can get all these podcasts, but today I believe the message from God for us is God wants you his. It's the cry of his heart that he wants you his. When I think about this world that we live in, it has a way of tossing some pretty difficult questions our way, hurling some stuff our direction that make us wonder about this world that we're in. And maybe the biggest question of all, the number one question is this. Like, what am I doing in this world? And right on the heels of it, like, what's going on in this world? Big question, like, why do I exist? And another question right on the heels of it, like, what's up with this existence? Like, what is my purpose on this planet, and what's going on this planet? There's a book that sold 30 million copies, became a number one seller because it answered that question that all of us were trying to dig down and go, like, what's going on in this world? And really the biggest question of all is, like, what am I supposed to be doing in this world? What's my purpose? Why was I created? Why am I here? And the book was written by Rick Warren, and it's called The Purpose-Driven Life. And his opening words of the book, brilliant. He started by just leveling the ground, sort of knocking the reader off center. Because if you want to figure out your purpose, if you want to know why you're here, if you want to know why you exist, You're not going to find it by looking in a mirror. And so he started by saying, it's not about you. It's not about you. Those are the opening words of the book. It's not about you. And then just a couple sentences down, he said, if you want to know why you are on this planet, you must begin with God. And I'm almost 100% convinced every single one of us is here today, unless you lost a bet and you had to come with someone to church, they dragged you in, like, you lost, my pool won, you know, like whatever it is. But if you're here today, my guess is this, that we're here for this reason, that we're convinced of this, or we're trying to figure this out. We're convinced that Christ is real, or we're just saying, hey, I want to belong to this group, and you do. Because you can belong here before you believe, but I don't yet believe. That's okay. Explore the things of Christ. But somewhere deep down inside, whether we are convinced of this for decades or still trying to figure out, somewhere deep down inside of each one of us is this deep feeling that if I'm ever going to figure out why I'm here, if I'm ever going to figure out the purpose of my life, I have to start with God who made everything, who created everything. I have to start with a being beyond myself to try to figure out why am I here? Why am I part of this? And there are a lot of us, this guy right here included, that it takes a long time to figure that out. And I don't know too many people, maybe a handful of people. It's rare for somebody to be able to spit off the purpose of their life with one sentence. They just roll it out. They've got a one sentence snapshot. This is who I am. This is why I was created. I've figured it out that God has designed me for, and they can spit out that sentence, just one sentence out there. No, for the rest of us, it's a journey that we're trying to explore, and we're trying to figure it out, and most of us haven't spent the kind of time to really say, why am I here? What has God created me for? And I think back when I was in college, and a sophomore in college, and how many of us, that question, it's like a nightmare for us because they're saying you need to declare your major. What are you going to give your life to? It's like, I don't know. Maybe my mom knows. She made me, you know, like you call up your mom. That's what I did. Call up my mom. Mom, what should I do? My mom said, pray. I went, that is the dumbest thing I ever heard. Seriously, that was I didn't say that to her because I didn't want to disrespect my mom. But I'm like, what is that? Like, you pray for your breakfast, you pray for your lunch, you pray for dinner, you pray before you go to bed, you pray when you wake up, and that's it. Then you go do real life. That was my thinking, like, what does prayer have to do with this? You must start with God. My mom, she knew that. And for some of us, trying to figure out, like, and what am I giving my life to? And you're stuck in a job that you're going, this feels like a dead end. Or you're in a relationship and you're dating going, is this what it's gonna be? And it's sort of sucking the life out of you. And you're going, I don't know. What should I do with this? How should I proceed with this? It's a rare person indeed, that has the purpose of their life nailed down with just one sentence, and they can roll it off their tongue. So what does this have to do, like, with this guy named Zacchaeus? Well, like so many of us, Zacchaeus is off living his life. And we know a few things about this guy from what we just read. We know a few things about him from the context. And we also know a few things about him from history itself. And what we know about him straight away is that this guy's a curious guy, at least, right? Because he hears about Jesus and there's a crowd gathering around. No doubt he heard, like, this Jesus, man, he's up to some crazy stuff. Like, he's been healing blind people and he's healed lame people. Rumor has it that he actually called somebody up out of a grave. Like, are you kidding me? And the rumor has it that when he teaches with another level of authority. Like, man, I feel like I'm just hearing from God when I'm hearing from him. And Zacchaeus had heard, and Jesus is coming through our town, and Jesus wants a view, or Zacchaeus wants a view of Jesus. He's got a problem. We know he's short because he can't see over the crowd. He can't see through the crowd. So he does what everybody else would do. You just run to the end of the line, right? Just run down. If the parade's going that direction, then you just run on over here to the end of it and you get a good view. And he actually climbed up in a tree to make sure he could get a glimpse of Jesus. Well, we also know that he wasn't just curious. This guy, he was a chief tax collector. That means he was a tax collector among tax collectors. He was a tax collector who had tax collectors that actually worked for him. And that sounds like pretty good. It made him a lot of money. We know he's wealthy. But when you study what was going on in the culture there, we know this not only made him wealthy, it made him hated. Not only wealthy, he was hated. He was despised. They called him a sinner. Here, what's Jesus hanging out with this guy for? And the reason is because what would happen is this. The Jewish people had from among their ranks some that said, I'll collect taxes. And who they were doing it for is a Roman government that was oppressing the Jewish people. They were like traitors. Yeah, we'll sell ourselves off to Rome and we'll collect some of the money from you and we'll give it to Rome, the people that they didn't want to be ruling over them. And not only this, not only was he a tax collector, but he was a tax collector, leading tax collector. He's the leader of the pack here. And the way he got wealthy, yeah, we know how wealthy he was because of what it says there, and we'll tap that in a second. But the way he got wealthy is this, and I'm just telling you, it would tick us off. It would put us in a place we'd be like, man, that guy is not showing up to our party. We're not inviting him into our circle of friends. You're not coming to our, I don't even want him on my lawn. And it's because of this. They would collect whatever was agreed upon to give to Rome. They would collect that and give it to Rome. And then they would begin to line their own pockets. And they would continue to collect. Even though the taxes were paid, they continued to collect and continued to squeeze. They had the power of Rome behind them and began to just squeeze, squeeze, squeeze for more and more money. Play that out a bit. It's going to be hard for us to tap into it because it hasn't happened to us. It's not happening to us this way. But tap into that to think about, okay, they got some out of me and I'm really upset about it because I really needed that. But I'll be okay. And then you find out, well, maybe I won't be okay because I'm connected to grandma. And they took everything from grandma. And what about mom and dad? Oh, they took mom and dad's stuff too. And what about our children? They just had a baby. Oh, they took theirs too. And now we're struggling. Well, this fat cat, man, he's just got all the cash in his pocket. He has lined it for himself. And we know he was super, super, super wealthy because when he had this encounter with Jesus, what does he say? Hey, like Jesus, I'm going to take half of all my stuff and just give it away to the poor. And then with what's left over, if I find anyone or anyone finds me that I've cheated, and there were some, right? A whole bunch of people. I'll pay him back four times. That's how much wealth he had, but also how much, if you can compare that, this enormous amount of wealth, he also had an enormous amount of disdain that was pitched in his direction by the crowd, by the people that surrounded. I just wonder. I don't know this to be true because we'd have to just kind of begin to project that maybe this happened. I wonder what's up with the story itself. I read the story and go, something here maybe happened that Zacchaeus couldn't see through the crowd. I get that. You're behind a bunch of tall men, bunch of people, and then you're stacked back and you can't see through. But I've been to a parade. You've been to a parade. How many of us, we know how to get a front row seat eventually. I mean, if Jesus is going from there and traveling all the way through Jericho, I just got to stay on the main road and get down far enough to I have a front row seat right here. I'll stand right here on the curb and wait till he comes by. Why didn't Zacchaeus do that? Why did he end up climbing up in a tree? Why? Well, I don't know for sure, but maybe it's because so many people disrespected him. So many people disliked him because he took from my grandma. He took from my mom. That thug has done so much damage to us. He's traitor. That when they showed up, they just pushed him back. Get back. Pushed him to the back row. Back. And Zacchaeus popped up in a tree. So at least, same crowd, same problem that's in front of him. But at least, instead of keep running down the row here, I'll just pop up in this tree and I'll get a glimpse of Jesus. There's three things in this thing, and I'm just asking that we try to hear from God on this one. Three things in this story that are so powerful when we think about the predominant message of the scripture, and we think about God's message to us, that he wants us his. To think about what Jesus did next, coming down that crowded way, surrounded by people that were enthralled with him, surrounded by people that were trying to live their life in a right way, surrounded by the people that maybe he heard all the stories about Zacchaeus. He knew clearly about the tax collectors. He was well acquainted that the chief tax collector had collectors that were just doing wrong to people all around. And he wants to embrace. It would make total sense that Jesus, when he approached the tree and he looked up in the tree, that Jesus would have kept right on going. Maybe even picked up his pace going, I could invest a lot of time in this guy, but I just don't know if he's worth it. He's been self-centered. He's been self-seeking. He doesn't care a less about all the people around him. I'm just going to keep right on clicking down this road here, and I'll give my attention to these people that I can pour my life into. But no, that's not what Jesus does. And that's not what God does. Because Jesus wanted Zacchaeus his. I'm so glad that's the heart of God. I'm so glad that's who God is. Because I can find myself in this story. And I'm guessing if you take a moment to just humble yourself, you can find yourself in that story as well. And your details different than Zacchaeus's, so is mine. Our details different as our fingerprints. It varies, but the story's the same, that Jesus didn't pass by because that's not who he is. And this story's in the scripture for this reason, to let us know that he locks eyes with us, because what Jesus does is when Zacchaeus is just saying, hey, I want a glimpse of Jesus, Jesus locks eyes with Zacchaeus. I just want a view of Jesus. And Jesus looks at Zacchaeus and says, I want more than that. Come down out of the tree. And Zacchaeus is saying, I just want to look over at Jesus and see who this man is. And Jesus says, not good enough. I want to move in to your house for a while. I want to step into your life. And Jesus looks up in the tree. That's fascinating, isn't it? The God of this universe who took on flesh to be among us. He's not looking down on Zacchaeus. He's looking up at him. He came as a servant and he looks up at Zacchaeus and he calls him by name. Zacchaeus. Clearly, Jesus knew him. Clearly, Jesus knew of him. He knew his reputation. How many stories had Jesus heard about Zacchaeus? He's got a band of thugs that are coming and they're wrecking our community. He's got a group of men that are showing up. And do you know what they did to my family members? They left them with not enough to even take care of themselves for a period of time. And we all had to come together. They're making life miserable for us. Zacchaeus, I know you. There's a moment in my life, same thing. And for you, again, I can't speak to all of you at once, but let God speak to you. I know you. I know your story. I know where you've been. I know what you've done. I know that you have been lining your own pockets at the expense of others. I know where you've cheated. I know where you've lied. I know where you've stolen. And I also know this about you, Zacchaeus. You're meant for something so much more. I see something in you that is grander and better than what you are right now, and I see hope and future for you. I don't know what it must have been like for Zacchaeus. I have no idea. To be sitting perched in a tree and to look dead into the eyes of the most holy that had ever walked the planet. I don't know if it, at that moment, because I've experienced this spiritually, I've just never seen it physically, but I don't know at that moment what it would feel like to have eyes that look all the way through you and to be fully known, completely known, nothing that I could hide even if I tried to hide it, and oh, that I would want to hide it, but I can't. It's not hidden. To be fully known and at the same time to feel like this cascading flood of grace coming over you saying, and you're fully loved. I know it all. You're fully known and you're fully loved. Zacchaeus, I want to make you mine. And on the heels of that, Jesus says, come down. Second thing that he's saying to him is come down. Instead of just speaking to him and saying, hey, Zacchaeus, got you. Know who you are. You ought to straighten up your life. No, Jesus goes to another level and says, come down. You're pushed to the back row. You're relegated to the cheap seats. And I'm asking you to come down out of that tree. Front row right here with me. Come down. Don't stay there. Come down. Don't stay in that life. Come down. You don't have to keep walking that journey that you're walking. Come down. You don't have to keep just reeling out pain around you. You're meant for more than that. Come down. You don't have to live in that guilt that you've been living in and wondering, why have I been doing this to people? My own people, come down. Zacchaeus gets out of the tree. I'm thinking about a man, a young man at the last church that I was in. It was 13 years up in Muskegon, so it'd be about 5 years ago. Just a little over 5 years ago, and I was in the waters of Wolf Lake on the last Sunday. The last thing I officially did as the pastor of Fellowship Church in Muskegon, and I made my way out into the waters. I'm like, what an amazing way to end 13 years of ministry among this church, but I'm standing in the water with what I believe to be five people that have made their way into the waters to be baptized. I was so excited about it, and I knew their stories, and I knew that Jesus had called them by name. I knew that he had spoken into, it doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, my grace is larger and more sufficient. I knew that they heard, I love you, that you're fully known and you're fully loved, and they were coming down to the waters to have that moment where they believed and got baptized. And I was standing there with what I thought was five, and I looked, and there was one man that was standing there. I didn't know him. Never seen him. Never met him before. I thought for sure this is a friend or this is a family member that is gathered around that he just wants to support, and he came out into the waters with us. And when I asked his name, he gave his name, and then I asked who he was out there to support, and he went, that's not why I'm here. He was sitting in the worship center. And Jeremy, you know this happens sometimes when we're preaching, that God just begins to speak. And there are times, I remember a sermon I preached years ago, and I got done preaching the sermon, and somebody from our church came up and said, Pastor Greg, when you said this, and I went, pretty sure I never said that. When you were talking about this, I'm like, pretty sure I never said it quite that way. But God was speaking to their hearts in a way that I can't, because he communicates like that. And this guy was sitting in the church coming under such grace of Jesus that he surrendered his life right there in worship. and found his way without asking out into the waters. He had come down and made his way out there and said, can I please be baptized? And we prayed over him, and I baptized him right there. He came down. Zacchaeus, come down. Come down. And then Jesus said what is just a marvel to me. He said the third thing that I just want us to see here today, and the final thing I want us to capture is this, that Jesus said, I must come to your house today. I must stay at your house today. And to think about that word must, I mean, that's a strong word. Like, why must you? Like, I'm willing to come to your house. I get that. Hey, could we sit down and have some lunch? I understand that. But Jesus is saying, I must come to your house today. Oh, it's a rare person. When they're wondering, like, what is the purpose of my life? They can spit off a sentence and just roll it off their tongue and say, the reason I'm here is because of, and just finish the sentence in a blink. And Jesus did that when he said at the very end of the chapter that we just read, when he said, the Son of Man, I, the Son of God, came to seek and to save the lost. I make a pitch for people's hearts. I want them mine. God wants us his. And so Jesus is looking at Zacchaeus saying, I know your house. I know the house that you've made. I know the mess that it is. I know the stories that are all over this household, that people are wondering, why would I show up and sit down and enter into the mess that you are? But I must. I must. It's who I am. It's how I am wired. It's my nature. It's my character. It's why I came to this world. It's my mission. And I am bound by my character. I am bound by my mission. I must come to you. And I will enter in and wash and forgive and reset and retool and give you a purpose for your living. And invite you into that journey. Ah. This is the burden that's been on my heart today. And I don't know if for you, you're sitting here today saying, thank you, Lord, that you did that for me. I'm happy for you. And I'm glad that Jesus did that for me. This is not who this message is for. It's not for us. It's for you that's sitting here today. And maybe you've been sitting here for 25 years and you have heard one sermon after another and you have kept everything from your head up. And you say, I know a lot of information. There, you just gave me a little bit more about this guy named Zacchaeus. I'm pleading on behalf of Jesus, who looks you in the eye and says to you by name, I know who you are. I know you've just been going through the motions. I know. And I'm calling you by name. I know your whole story. And I know this. I have so much more for you. Come down. Come down. And I must. I'm bound by my nature. It's who I am. I must enter in and give you so much more. I want to make you mine. God wants us his. And maybe this is your first time here, or you've been coming here and you belong here and you say, this is my home. I belong to these people. I just don't believe yet. Maybe you've been sitting there and God has really been speaking to you, maybe for the first time in your life, and you're going, this is just wild. I've never experienced anything like this. If that's the case, man, I am going to celebrate to a high level. And heaven itself, it says, has a grand celebration when just one of us comes out of the tree, if you will, and steps in, and Jesus steps in and says, I'm taking up residence in you. Heaven celebrates with a grand celebration. If that's you today that he's speaking to, he's calling, he's beckoning you. And there's only one March 26, 2017. There's only one. And there's only one people on planet Earth that will ever live this day. It's our moment. This is our day. And could it be that it was Zacchaeus' day when he didn't know, not when he climbed up in that tree, he didn't know that that was going to be the day that Christ was going to meet up with him and everything would change for him to the point where he went, I'll give half away and I'll pay back fourfold. I have something so much sweeter, so much better. Now that I know you and you know me and I feel your forgiveness and grace, maybe today this is your day and you sense that God is saying, it's your day. I'm calling you by name. I'm inviting you to come down and I will show up. I'm not afraid of where you've been. I'm not afraid of what you've done. My grace is more powerful than any sin you've ever rolled out. My love, it goes deeper than any hole that you ever dug. And my ability to forgive you, it goes beyond any stuff that you ever did. I must, this is what I do. I must come to your house and stay now with you. So I'm just going to ask that we bow our head now. This conversation, I'm so believing it's been between you and God, that even now he's making that pitch for your heart, that we would sense him calling our name, maybe even not hearing it audibly, but hearing it. And then that loving invitation, I know you, and I know what you're made for. Come on down. And then inviting him with joy like Zacchaeus did, come stay. Take up residence in this heart of mine. Make that transfer from my head to my heart. Take me on a journey. Heal me and restore me and forgive me and use me now for your glory. Amen.